So what I want to do is I want to dive right into our scriptures today, and I want to read, first of all, the entire context of what we're going to be talking about. So let me read it to us, and I'm going to break it up just a little bit as we go through it. Then we'll come back and pull out some really important points that I think are going to help us and bless you. So in Luke chapter 13 and verse 10, here is what it says. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. So let me break here just a second and tell you about this. Whenever you see Jesus and a Sabbath, it's trouble. It's like oil and water. It just doesn't mix. He despised the Sabbath. Now, a synagogue, their service is very similar to our service. A church service is designed off of a synagogue service. They would come in, they would sing praises to God from the Psalms, and then they would have instructions in the Word, and that's how it pretty much goes. So my title today is When Jesus Goes to Church. And so I want you to see what happens when Jesus shows up. Some of you think you might want to go to church with Jesus. I don't know. So we'll see here, okay? So this is the setup. So, and Jesus is moving around, and he's waiting for the Passover to come so that he can go to Jerusalem. And he's moving around from town to town, city to city, and he's being invited because he's a big figure in the land, and he's invited to come and talk at all these places. So, okay, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. Now, let me talk about that just a second. Now, I want you to see the components of a church service. All right. First of all, you got a crippled person here. Okay, and that's okay. That's good. But she brings a spirit with her, right? She brings her spirit with her to church, and that's not a bad thing either. That's a good thing, because we all do this, right? If I come, my spirit comes, right? And spirits, maybe come. And we all, I mean, think about it. If you're in a bad attitude, you're in a bad way on a Sunday morning, and you come to church, you bring that bad attitude with you? Huh? Yeah, you do. I know you do, because I do. And so this is I'm wanting you to see the components that are in a service. So this thing was a bad thing on her for 18 years, had a cripple, and she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands. Now, is that plural or singular? Hands? Is that plural? So he put all the hands he had on her, right? If he'd had three, he would have. But he put his hands, plural, on her. And immediately, what happened? She straightened up, and what'd she do? She praised God. Now, indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler. Here's another ingredient, another component for a church service, an indignant leader, right? Have his indignant leader. He's upset because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler said to the people, there's another component, got people at this church meeting. That's a good thing, right? And there are 6 days for works, what he said. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. You see why Jesus despised this? And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you have on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey and from the stall and lead it out and give it water?" Now, what's that got to do with anything? Where does he pull that from? Give it water. And then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan. So we got hypocrites. That's a component in the church. That's just what hypocrites do. They go to church. And then we got Satan. We got Satan. Does Satan go to church? We got Satan as a component. I know some of you are looking around. You're saying, whoa. And say who Satan has bound 18 long years, emphasis there, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. Then he said this. When he said this, all his opponents, there's another component of a church service, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Okay, so let me go to work here now, and what I want to do is I want to say a thought or two and then pull out some key points that I think is going to help us. First of all, whenever Jesus went to church, it was a problem. it was trouble. And you know, it made me think. Well, you know what? when we have problems, does that mean Jesus came to church? I'm thinking, well, yeah, I think so. I think it does, because you got all these components going on, and when all of these components get mixed up with Jesus, you have problems. And let me call these components out to you again. See, the first component was this crippled person who came with their spirit, and so you got spirits at church, and you got people, and I want us to make sure, because this is where I'm going with it. I don't think just because you're only crippled in your body. I think we get crippled. I think all of us are sometimes crippled in other areas of life. So then we bring our spirits with us. And then we got this indignant leader, right? This guy's mad. The word indignant, I'm going to show it to you in a little bit, I think, if I have time. But this word indignant, what it means is moved by anger, moved by your disgust. You're moved. Have you ever done that? It moved you. I mean, that's what he was. He was this indignant leader. And then we got people. People come, like us, come to really worship God and praise God and enjoy praise and worship and enjoy our relationship with the Lord and learn something about him. And we come for the right reasons. But also, you got hypocrites there, right? That's just what hypocrites do. They go to church. That's why, that's what they do. But also, you got Satan there. That's the sixth component. And the seventh component that is mentioned there as well are these opponents. Whatever Jesus wanted to do, whatever the Spirit of God wanted to do, there's somebody that's going to oppose it. And there's this opponent thing that's going on. That's the seventh. And then the eighth component is Jesus. And when you put all this together, you got problems. You got something that's going to happen. And when Jesus goes to church, he's always going to address issues. And so this is what's happening here. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is this indignant leader, this indignant ruler that was here. He was upset with Jesus. He was indignant. He was moved by his anger because Jesus had messed up his theology, had messed up his doctrine, and messed up his teaching. People had come because Jesus was there. Obviously, the synagogue was full of people. And he was mad at them because they'd come to get healed. And he was upset. And he was indignant. And I'll show you in a few minutes that he wasn't indignant with Jesus. He was indignant with the people. He was mad with the people. And he was more interested in his ox and his donkeys and his doctrine than he was for this crippled person, this crippled lady. He was more interested in that. And so he had turned his church into a house of hypocrites. He had turned his church into a house of spirits that was against mankind. He had turned his house into a house of false doctrines and teachings that would devastate people. He had turned his house into a house of error. And we need to understand this when we attend church. We need to understand what's going on. All of these things are components of a church service, of what we're involved in here. And every church has these components that are happening in it. So Jesus is invited to come and speak. And so while he's there, he might as well go ahead and address some of these components and some of these issues. And he does. And the first thing, of course, is this Sabbath thing. Now, again, the Sabbath and Jesus was all in one, all in water, and it just didn't mix. It just didn't mix at all. It was they come against each other. Now, I have got you a lot of information in there about the Sabbath thing. I've taught extensively about it and why he despised it. I can't get into all of that and accomplish what I want to accomplish as well. Here's what you need to know. Jesus despised it, and it was the very heart of Judaism. It was the symbol of Judaism. It all culminated on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus says, this thing's coming down. I despise it. This house is going to be left desolate. And so he went for the heart of it. He went for the symbol of it. He went for the Sabbath. Jesus says, the way that we have a relationship with God is not because of rules and regulations and what you can and what you can't do. It's a father-child relationship. That's he says, when you pray, say, Father. When you love God, love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love him with your heart. Love him with understanding out of your mind. Love him with your emotions from your soul. Love it. Love him with some effort. Love him with some strength. And what you need to know about the Sabbath is that God gave it as the best day of the week, but they turned it into the worst day of the week. What it was for is to set man free from human achievement. Give him a day off so they don't have to achieve anything. But what they did is turn it opposite around and make it a day of achievement. You've got to do all of these things so that you can achieve a position and the approval and the happiness of God upon your life. And they had totally turned it around. So what Jesus, they were forcing people into the Sabbath. And what Jesus said was this in Mark 22:27. Put it up for me, please. Jesus says, listen, you guys got it all messed up. You got it all wrong. The Sabbath was made for people. The Sabbath was made to make people's lives better. It was to fit into their lives. It was to make them a life better for them. It wasn't to make them fit into it. Man wasn't made to fit into the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to fit into man. The Sabbath wasn't made for God. The Sabbath was made for people. And God wanted it to be a good thing. And they had turned it completely around and made it a bad thing. And so that's all you really need to know there, because that's not where I really want to emphasize more today. Well, you got a lot more information there that I wrote, but what I want to work on is this next part now. This is where I really want to go to work. And so what I want to do is I want to read back through it and pull out some points that I think are going to help us. So let's take a look here at verse 10 through 11 again. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. Okay, we got that. And a woman was there who had been crippled. Now get this. Crippled how? By a spirit. Okay. For 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now, a couple of things quickly. First of all, this infirmity that this woman had was spiritually connected. Did you see that? She had a spirit that had bent her over. A spirit that had caused this. It was spiritually connected. Now, everything that's an infirmity and a sickness with people is not spiritually related. It's not a spirit causing it. Sometimes Jesus would just pray for people, right? And it wasn't necessarily a thing that was connected with the spirit dimension. They were just sick. They were just ill. And he would pray for them. But sometimes it is. And if we're going to be smart people, we've got to realize that sometimes it could just be something attacking us rather than a germ. It could be a spirit. And we've got to be smart enough. See, when people pray for me, if I'm ill, I want them to understand this. And I just don't want them to pray I get better. I want them to pray against that whatever is attacking me. If it's a germ, then pray. But if it's a spirit, then pray. Because just praying that I might get healed might not get me healed. So understand what we're doing. When I pray for somebody, I do what Jesus prayed for the infirmity. He prayed at the infirmity. Woman, you are freed from this infirmity. Right? That's what he said to her. So when I pray for people like with cancer, I'll pray, I'll come against that cancer. I'll curse that cancer like Jesus cursed the fig tree. I'll curse it at its roots, and I'll command it to come out of it. I'll command that every cell bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ, and that it comes out of the trough, and that it comes out of that person, and that person is released from that thing. Now, I don't go around casting demons out of people. I don't go around saying, oh, you got the spirit of infirmity. No. They will. Wise, they'll just kick you off, man. They won't have anything to do. Think you're weird. But you got to be wise when you pray for people. And you got to be wise when people pray for you. Because it might be spiritually connected. Are you with me on that? Okay. The second thing I want you to see is, yes, she did have a problem with the spirit. I mean, there was a spiritual problem that this woman had. But I want you to see the spirit had just crippled her. It had not possessed her. Are you there? See, I think a lot of people are crippled. But everybody's not possessed. Is that okay? And so we've got to understand. And it says that she was bent over. And here's where we really want to go to work. Okay, this thing had bent her over, and she could not straighten up at all. No matter what she did, no matter where she went, doctors, therapists, wherever, she could not straighten up at all. And it had had her for 18 long years. This is long years when you got to do this for 18 years. And so I was trying to go through the process of this thing. How does this roll out? How do you function like this for 18 years? How do you move? How do you focus? How do you look? How do you function in life? You can't straighten up at all. No matter what you do, you can't get straight. You can't really worship God. You can't look into the heavens. You can't have a relationship and walk with your family. You can't walk with your spouse or your children. You can't. What can? This is horrible. And then I was thinking about us. I was thinking about me. What's crippled me? What is it that I can't get straight? No matter what I do, no matter who I talk to, no matter what therapist, no matter what person, no matter what doctor, I can't get straight at all. It affects my walk with my spouse. It affects my walk with my children. It affects my walk with people I love and care about. It even affects my worship because I can't really focus on God. I can't function because this thing's got me crippled. And sadly, it's been way more than 18 years. How about you? What's got you bowed over? What's got you bound? What's got you crippled? What in your life, no matter what you do, you just can't straighten up at all? So as I was processing this, I said, wow, Jesus committed all these components, all this mess for this person. And then, so what I want to do at the end of the service, and this is why we changed it up today, I want to do what this next verse says. And I think that it's not just a spiritual crippling. It can be a physical crippling. It could be a mental crippling. It could be an emotional crippling. So in the next verse, I want to work through verses 12 through 13. It says, when Jesus saw her. Now, you'd say, well, sure, he saw her. Anybody would see somebody like this. No. He saw her. He called her forward. There's something about calling her forward. And I'm going to go through it in just a second, but this is difficult for her. Come forward. But there was something about it that made it work. And he called her forward. And he said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. That's all he said. He didn't give the demon or the spirit, whatever that it was, a microphone. He didn't ask it its name. He didn't even acknowledge it. It's a woman. You're free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands, plural, on her. Something about the laying on of hands. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Something about that. Put his hands on her. And immediately, what happened? Immediately, she straightened up like a jack-in-the-box and she started praising God. For the first time, she was set free to look into the heavens in 18 years. Wow. So this is what I want to do at the end of the service. Let me work through some points so it'll make it even more instructive to us. I want to talk about some of these things. Now, the King James Version and T.D. Jakes says, woman, thou art loosed, right? Now T.D. Jakes has made that statement more popular than the King James Version, but T.D. says it, and he says that it changed his life and it changed his ministry. And because it changed his life and it changed his ministry, he's been able to set thousands of people free from this verse. I want you to understand there's power here. And what we're talking about, it'll set us free. It'll get us uncrippled. So understand where I'm going here with this thing. You know, you're loose. You can get freed. You get straightened up. And I love it that it says he saw her. Well, yeah, anybody would, right? No, he saw her. he was able, I mean, the place was full, and you know, he was the big dame in the whole land. People were coming in there, and the leader was indignant because the people had showed up for him and wouldn't show up for the leader. You know, he was upset about this, and he was scanning the people. And he was able to bypass the face and bypass all the front and look into their eyes and make eye contact, but look past the eyes and see the things that were crippling them. I wish I could do that better. I attempt to make eye contact with everybody every week from right here. And sometimes I'll pick up some things. Somebody will be weeping or hurting or bound up and crying, you know, you can tell. And I attempt to get to them before they get out. But I wish I could do a better job of that. Now, Judy does a way better job than I do of this. And I do better than most of you. But don't you think that that's something that we should do on Sunday? But should we limit it to Sunday? Shouldn't we do it everywhere we go? See, there are people that are crippled where you work. Right? There are people that are there. And because we get so wrapped up into our time frame and what we're about and what we're focused on, we don't make eye contact. And we don't look past the focus, past the frontal. And we just look in and we just kind of say, hey, and go on. And they're crippled and they're hurting. And you got some hands that can help them. But how about in our families? Should we not do this in our families? Should we not see what's crippling our spouse or see what's not crippling our children and say, honey, this is crippling you? Let's pray. See, he saw that. He saw her. You know, she was bound up and she was crippled by this spirit thing, but she was also bound up and crippled by her society. I mean, she was a woman. Right. And besides, she was a woman. She was an outcast woman. I mean, when somebody had this kind of infirmity, they thought God was judging them. And so people would avoid her. So not only was she crippled by the spirit, but she was crippled by her society. And I was thinking about that. You know, in our society, women have come a long way. Maybe, right? And they've gained and they've worked hard to get equality. And I'm happy that they have. And we all should be happy that they have. Jesus says that the children of the world are wiser in their day than the children of God. The children of, right? I mean, because I'm looking at the church. And it's not like that in the church. They're women, they had to sit in the back then. And we still push them to the back now. Women can't preach because they're women. Women can't teach because they're women. I want to tell you, that's wrong. In Luke chapter 8, we spent a whole Sunday talking about the importance of women. If it hadn't been for women, then Jesus Christ's ministry wouldn't have worked. They supported him. They served him. If it had not been for women, this church would not exist. And I don't know that any church would exist if it wasn't for women. Right? Woman, you are loosed. You're loosed. And you need to know it. Don't let anybody push you to the back. You like that, don't you? Now listen. Stand up. She does. Listen, she's gotten kicked off of blogs because of this. She doesn't get mean with it or anything, but she just stands up and says, that's not right. You show me in the Bible where that's the way it's supposed to be. And they'll kick her off the block. Woman, you're loosed. You're loosed. Don't let society, don't let the church, don't let Satan, don't let spirits bind you up. And so Jesus called her forward, right? He called her forward. Now, again, I want you to make sure you see this. I mean, she's bowed over. I don't know how it worked, but he saw her and he called her forward. Now, this would have been tough for her. There was a big crowd. She had to manipulate and maneuver through the people. And, you know, she's like this. And it's got to be somewhat embarrassing. And going through all these people and going to see, walking up to see Jesus. But when we do that, when we come forward, see, what I want to do at the end of the service, I could do it easier just having you stand right there and pray. And I was thinking about that. Well, you know what? Wouldn't it have been easier for Jesus to go to her? I mean, it wasn't like he had a microphone cable or nothing that was holding him back, right? It would have been lots easier for him to go to her. But see, it worked because she came to him. It worked because she came forward. When we go forward, we're saying, God, here I am. Touch me. Touch my life. I'm crippled. Put your hands on me. Touch me. It's embarrassing coming down here. I don't want people to know I'm crippled. But it works when we come forward and let him touch us and put his hands on us. And so he put his hands on her, and she popped up like a jack-in-the-box and started praising God. And she was able to look into the heavens. First time in 18 years, she was freed. And it's when we come forward and we let him touch us that we get freed. So let me go through this other part really fast. I'm not even going to put it on the screens, so we'll save a couple of moments. But this guy got indignant about this. This leader got indignant. Put the definition of indignant up there for me, please. And what it means is to be moved by your anger, to just be moved by your displeasure of something. Have you ever been displeased and angered and indignant? Have you ever been indignant? Have you? Have you ever been indignant in church? Sadly, most of us. I've been indignant, and I'm probably the king of indignant. And I'll tell you what, it moves me when I get angry. It controls me. And here's the point that I want us to see in this, is when we become angry, when we become indignant, we're moved by those things, we miss the presence of God. There stood God right in front of this guy. And he's all mad about something that didn't matter. And he misses the presence of God because of his dumb doctrine. Now, I want you to see something here. Put the verse up for me, please. I want you to see one thing, who he was indignant at. No, verse before that, where it's indignant. Please. There you go. Okay. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath in the synagogue. The synagogue ruler said to who? He didn't say it to Jesus. He wasn't indignant with Jesus. Who was he indignant with? The people. Okay, you can take it down. I want you to see this. He's yelling at the people because they had come to get healed and get ministered to by God. And what it had done is it messed up his doctrine. He had taught the people, you don't do this on Sunday, on Saturday. You don't do this on the Sabbath day. And so his doctrine had caused him. See, false doctrine, wrong doctrine trumps the presence of God. That's what it always does. Well, you got to know these things when you go to church, this church, any church. A wrong doctrine removes the presence of God operating in your life. And so he comes out with these scriptures and he actually quotes Deuteronomy 5:13. And what he says is you have 6 days to labor and do all of your labors in 6 days. He's quoting Deuteronomy 5:13. And he stops right there. And then he says, so why didn't you come on another day to be healed? And so Jesus is sitting back, and I just kind of see him sitting back. Now, I know they didn't have chapters and verse, so I know that. But Jesus is kind of sitting back there, letting him go off on the people. And so Jesus jumps up. But Jesus doesn't talk to the people. Jesus says it to him. He says, to him, you hypocrites. Now, he wasn't the only one there. There were other ones there besides him. You hypocrites. And then he starts talking about ox and donkeys and animals. What is that to do? Here's what it is to do. The guy stopped his context right there. He didn't finish it. He didn't finish out the rest of Deuteronomy 13 and 14. Yeah, that's what it says. It says exactly that. It says that you have 6 days to labor and do all your work. And then it says the next line, the next thing it says, is also your ox and your donkeys and all your animals. And what Jesus was upset about is he knew that those hypocrites were going to go home after church and they were going to work, they were going to labor out, they were going to lead those ox and donkeys and animals out and water them. And he's saying, you're a hypocrite. You're going to work today. And you're saying that it's wrong for this woman to be healed today? You're saying that that's wrong? No, you're the one that's wrong. You're the hypocrite. And what I'm wanting to make sure you see is always check out, because preachers do this today. They wrench the scriptures. They twist them so that their doctrines will sound right. Now, it was a wrong doctrine. And you need to know that about your preachers, wherever they are and whomever they are, that they will twist the scriptures to make them say something wrong so that they'll have their way in your life. So I wanted you to see that. I think that was a very important point. Now I want to just say this. And his the people got, he humiliated his opponents. Right? That's what it said. His opponents were humiliated. Now, have you ever been humiliated? You've been humiliated, right? Everybody, who has anybody never been humiliated? Well, you haven't been around me. but I've been humiliated. Now, humiliated does not mean humbled. When I was thinking about it, if I was ever humiliated, I was the opposite of being humbled. These guys weren't humbled. They were humiliated. What do you do when you get humiliated? You come back. You get more angry. You get more indignant, right? So they weren't humbled. They were indignant. They were humiliated. But it says that the people, though, were so pleased with Jesus because of all the wonderful things that he did. So we got these opponents that were indignant and humiliated, and then you got the people. Woo, this tree in the breeze. You know, we're just so happy. Look at the miracles. Look at all the things. And Jesus knows that. And yeah, right now they're all happy with him. But just in a couple of weeks, they're going to be screaming, crucify him. Crucify him. He knew this. I want to wind it up with this thought. See, Jesus went through all these components of church. He went through the spirits that were there. He went through the indignant leader that was there. He went through the people who were all about him, knowing that miracles do not make believers. And that in a couple of weeks, they were going to be turning against him. He went through all of them. He went through all of that. He went through all the hypocrites. He endured and went through all the things of Satan. He endured all the things of the opposers. He endured all of those things so he could get to that one woman. One crippled person. I was thinking about it. You know, he endured the cross, suffering the shame, so he could get to you. So he could get to you. So he could get to you. So he could get to me. He saw us. He wants us to come forward so he can touch us. And we can be straightened up. And we can be freed from the thing that's crippled us. So let's do it. What I want you to do right now is just want you to come forward. And what I want to start coming. And what I want to do is, here's what I want to do. Is I'm going to speak exactly what he spoke. Right, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to speak exactly what he spoke to them. You are freed from your infirmity. And I want you to say it back to me. Because I want to be freed too. But I also want you to say it to whomever that you feel to say it to. You know, not just name their name, but say it so your wife will hear you say it. Say it like Jesus said it. Yeah, I am freed from my infirmity. You know, I want you to say, I am. Say you are freed from your infirmity. Say what he said. It stood exactly the way it came. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down and I'm going to put hands on each one. I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to take time with each person. I'm not going to pray a prayer over you unless Jesus says to do it. But what I want to do is just touch you. My hands on you. Each one. Go down the road until I get everybody. But I want you to do the same to me. I want you to reach out. Because there's power in your hands. Right? You got the same spirit I have, so I want you to reach out and I want you to touch me as well as I touch you. Let's see God do some things. And when I get around, we get prayed, we're going to shout. We're going to pop up like a jack in the box. I want your hands to go high. I want you to look into the heavens. And I want you to shout to God like you hadn't shouted to him in 18 years. And I want you to praise him. And then the praise team's coming back up. And we're going to sing one more song. All things are possible. Is that right? Do you believe this? This is good. So I'm going to say it to you, and you're going to say it back to me. You are freed from your infirmity.
You are free from your infirmity.
Yes, I am. Right. Amen. Father, we are free. Amen. Touch me. Touch me.
preacher, preach. Preach, preach. You are freed. You're freed. You're freed. You're freed.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to shout now. I want you to pop up. I got Jack in the box. I want you to shout to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Right now on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Father.